You're listening to All the Backlist, a weekly show about books that are not new. I'm your host, Danica Ellis. This is episode number 415.5. And today I'm going to talk about a couple of book series that I read and enjoyed as an adult, but that I wish I had been able to read when I was younger. I find it really interesting to think about the way that I read YA and children's books now, because I still do read them. I read fewer YA books than I did in my early 20s. I don't even think I read that many YA books when I was actually a teen, weirdly. But the way that I read them now is different. I used to really relate to the main character, including when I was in my early 20s. But now that I am in my 30s, I still relate to them in the way that I relate to all characters, that we're all human and we all have emotions that I can understand and feel for them. But I don't put myself in their shoes. I don't feel like we are comparable in the same way I used to. Instead, I just feel really protective of them, especially in some of the YA that I have read recently. I just want to scoop them up. I just want them to be happy. I just feel so bad for the struggles they're going through. I think my very brief time as a teacher definitely helped with that, and actually working with teenagers and seeing how much that they are just kids still. And then I guess in a way we kind of all are, but especially teenagers. And so I still enjoy YA, but I definitely am more in that parental or maternal viewpoint than I am the main character's viewpoint, which is kind of funny because that's definitely not how I used to read YA. But weirdly, that hasn't stopped me from reading it and enjoying it. It's just a different perspective. So I want to talk about a couple of the YA books that I read as an adult and enjoyed, but I wish I could have read them when I was younger, just because it's a different perspective. And as much as I enjoy it now, I know I would have felt differently about it and possibly liked them even more when I was younger. But before I get into that, I want to talk about our newest podcast, Book Riot's newest podcast, which is First Edition. It is started by Jeff O'Neill, Book Riot's co-founder, and explores the wide bookish world. It is a variety show of sorts. It has all kinds of different segments. It's different every time. So there's interviews, lists, rankings, retrospectives, recommendations, and much more, featuring people who know and love books. So there's definitely book rioters on there, but we also have all kinds of guests that are coming on there. And it's so exciting because I never know what's going to show up in my feed. So right now you can look at Kelly and Vanessa, who are a couple of editors who dig into the legacy of Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, in honor of the movie coming out. We have Rebecca and Jeff, who are trying to predict what the It book of each month is. And then there's a fascinating interview with Khaled Hosseini, the author of The Kite Runner, about the legacy of that book 20 years later, how it was written, how he feels about it now. So go check it out. That is First Edition, and you can subscribe in Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or your podcatcher of choice. And let's hear from a sponsor, and then I will get into the books.
Today's episode is brought to you by Harper Horizon, publisher of Walk, Ride, Paddle. Walk, Ride, Paddle is a captivating memoir of Senator Tim Kaine's physical journey through the Virginia wilderness, but it is also a unique and ultimately optimistic perspective on these pivotal moments in history, offering inspiration, wisdom, and hope. With immediacy and honesty, Kaine pulls back the curtain to reveal his inner thoughts during such monumental times. And Kaine's storytelling gift and wise observations offer a fascinating glimpse into the mind of a seasoned politician and outdoor enthusiast. Walk, Ride, Paddle is available everywhere audiobooks are sold on April 9th. It is narrated and written by Tim Kaine, Virginia senator and former Democratic vice presidential candidate. It's a compelling account of one man's journey across hundreds of miles of Virginia wilderness and a moving testament to the optimistic spirit of America. So make sure to check out Walk, Ride, Paddle by Tim Kaine. And thanks again to Harper Horizon, publisher of Walk, Ride, Paddle, for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by W.W. Norton and Company Incorporated. So, Negative Space by Jillian Linden follows a week in the life of an English teacher at a New York private school. At home, her children ask constant questions about mortality, and her husband offers occasional counsel between Zoom calls. At school, something happens. She accidentally witnesses an ambiguous, possibly inappropriate interaction between a teacher and a student, but how can she be sure of what she saw? Negative Space is a portrait of a woman caught between the pressures of what's normal and what isn't, and examines what we owe the people who depend on us in a fractured and indifferent world. It's a debut novel and a short novel. It's perfect if you want something quick and easy to carry around, but it's also thought-provoking. It takes place during the pandemic, but it's not pandemic-focused, and it really just looks at everyday anxieties in low-threat situations that have high consequences. So make sure to check out Negative Space by Jillian Linden. And thanks again to W.W. Norton and Company Incorporated for sponsoring this episode.
So the first series I want to talk about is A Tropical Fish Yearns for Snow by Makoto Hagino. And this one is kind of holding space for similar series like it. This is a very cute Yuri manga, and there are several series that have a similar style, and all of them I think I really would have enjoyed as a teenager, and I still enjoy now, but I wish I could go back and give it to my younger self. This one came out when I was 27, so there was no chance that I could have read it as a kid or teenager, but I would have liked to. Surprisingly, I didn't read a lot of queer books as a teen. I started the Lesbury in my early 20s, just as I was starting to get into queer lit. And even though I had come out at 15 and being queer and a reader were two of my biggest personality traits, I hadn't thought to combine them. I was reading fan fiction for that. And maybe I thought lesbian literature was all like The Well of Loneliness. I read Jeanette Winterson, but that was about it. When I started actively seeking out sapphic books, though, there was a whole new world that was open up to me, and the longer I've spent there, the bigger it has become. There are so many more queer books getting published, and maybe even more importantly, actually being read than just a handful of years ago. I didn't read manga or watch anime as a teen, though there was definitely a dedicated anime kids contingent in my high school. It wasn't until college that I discovered the original Sailor Moon and Revolutionary Girl Utena anime, and later the manga. And all of that is to say, I really would have loved to have had access to this kind of queer manga that is out now when I was a teenager. This series in particular, it is very gentle. It has the kind of meaningful eye contact, charged touching of hands, and blushing courtship that you usually only see in historical novels. It's about two girls at an Aquarian club who become friends and maybe fall for each other. And I find it very sweet now, but I would have loved this as a teen. At the time, I both sought out queer media and steeled myself against it because I was used to media where lesbian characters died suddenly, they were punished by the narrative for being queer, and even love stories between women had to include suffering through homophobia, especially possibly even hate crimes before they got their happy ending. There were examples of happy queer media, but it was definitely a lot more rare. This manga series has beautiful illustrations and a very cute love story between two girls. It's not absolutely spelled out whether that love and devotion to each other is romantic, but it seemed pretty clear to me, though I haven't finished the last two books of the series yet. My teen self would have gobbled up Yuri series like this if she had access to them. I wish I could go back and just hand her the hundreds of queer manga books that are out now, especially these cute schoolgirl ones that I like now, but I don't connect to the way I would have if I was reading them when I was 15. I think I would have loved that. But I'm happy to do that on her behalf since I can't get these books to my teen self. And that is A Tropical Fish Yearns for Snow by Makoto Hagino. And now I have to talk about Protector of the Small by Tamora Pierce. So in 2014, I was running the children's department of a used and new bookstore. Shout out to Russo Books. Definitely check it out if you are in the Vancouver Island area. I still love it. But when I had that job, it meant you heard a lot about people's childhood favorite books from customers and from coworkers alike. And I had several coworkers who loved Tamora Pierce. But despite being a feminist, book-loving kid, I had somehow missed her completely. I'd never read a book by her. Meanwhile, I was also following Mark Oshiro's blog before they were the big-time famous author they are today. They ran a blog called Mark Reads, where they would read and talk about books chapter by chapter, especially big, famous series. And they were reading their way through all of Tamora Pierce's books, more than 25 of them. And I was heading to a geeky convention where Mark would be a panelist. And I decided to do a big reading project. I read a bunch of books from some of the people who are going to be there. And I also wanted to catch up with where Mark was. So that is how I ended up reading 26 of Tamora Pierce's books in 2014, all in 1 year. I'm really sad I didn't get to read this as a kid because I could have. This series started coming out when I was 9, and I would have loved this as a preteen. Like Mark, I read Tamora Pierce's books in the order that they came out. I liked Alana, but it also felt a little bit bumpy to me when I found out that it was originally a longer book for adults that had to be cut down significantly. That made sense to me. I feel like you could kind of see the seams, even though I really enjoyed it. And I liked Wild Magic, that series, but I didn't really connect with the main character, Dane, and certainly not with her relationship with her older teacher slash mentor. Yikes, that part did not age well. But then, the next series, there was Kelidri, the Protector of the Small. I thought reading another story about a girl training to be a knight, because that's the plot of the first series, would be a retread of Alana's story, but I was completely wrong. Kel is a very different character, and her journey trying to fight sexism to be a knight is a very different battle than Alana's strategy of disguising herself as a boy. They're going through really different things. But more importantly, I loved Kelidri right away. She and her family spent years in the Yamani Islands, where she learned fighting skills, as well as the ability to expertly mask her emotions. And she really needs both of those skills to get through the challenges ahead of her. Unlike Alana's fiery temper, Kel is contained. She makes friends, but she's not particularly bubbly. My favorite thing about her, though, is what gives the series its title. She wants to be a knight because she wants to protect the vulnerable, and she does that every time, no matter the risks. At the beginning of the book, when boys are trying to drown a bag of kittens in the river, she fights them, and when spidgin monsters try to eat said kittens, she throws rocks at them and scales a cliff that triggers her intense phobia of heights. She goes up against these terrifying monsters with nothing, with no training, with no weapons, to save these kittens. And when she finds out that older pages are bullying the younger ones, she begins patrolling every night to fight them, even though she gets beat up and later punished by teachers. Every single time, every night, she just goes out and gets beat up because she can't stand by and let these kids get bullied. And there are so many different examples of this, of what she does to try to help people who need it, or animals. And she does all of this reluctantly. She really doesn't want to be a hero as much as she just can't stand by while injustices are happening. And even when they react badly to her help, even when she's taking care of a baby griffin who is just tearing her up and making her bleed, it doesn't deter her. And honestly, who am I kidding? Kelidri is my hero. I love her so much. I think she's inspirational. I've been listening to the audiobooks to go to sleep, and I've actually teared up while listening. I obviously love these now. even though I discovered them as an adult, I just wish that my childhood self could enjoy them too. And also, somebody make a graphic novel series out of Tamora Pierce's books. Come on, we are overdue. And that is Protector of the Small by Tamora Pierce. Thank you so much to our sponsor. Thank you to our audio editor, Jen Zink. And thank you for listening. For more recs or general bookishness, check out bookriot.com. And don't forget to check out our full stable of podcasts at bookriot.com/listen, or just search Book Riot on your podcast player of choice. And especially make sure to check out First Edition. You can find a list of the books I mentioned today in the show notes by visiting bookriot.com/allthebooks. And remember, if you're a fan of all the books and all the backlist and you want to show us some love, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. We sincerely appreciate it, and your reviews help other book lovers to find us. If you want to find me, you can do that at lesbury.com. That's lesbrary.com for my sapphic book blog, or at Danica Ellis on Twitter. That's DanikaElLis on Twitter. And in the meantime, happy reading!